Debo and Unferth didn't set out to join a revolution, but love makes people do strange things. Back in the 80s, revolutions swept Central America. There were popular uprisings in El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and more. Activist priests were preaching liberation theology, and Debo and Unferth's boyfriend, George, decided to join them. Before her family knew it, she had converted to Christianity, dropped out of school, and hit the road with him. In her book, Revolution, Unferth remembers what it was like to be a vocational revolutionary in the 1980s in Central America. She told Anne Strangechamps where the path took them.
We started out in Mexico and we went through Guatemala, which was also experiencing a lot of civil uprisings of various kinds. And then we went through El Salvador and we worked in an orphanage in El Salvador just for a brief time. And yeah, in El Salvador there was a terrible civil war going on in El Salvador. And then we went to Nicaragua and then we stayed there for quite a long time. And then we continued on. We went through Costa Rica where there was no war, a very strange little paradise there. And then we went to Panama where there were a lot of uprisings against the military dictator Noriega.
And what exactly did you imagine you would do? I mean, how were you going to help these revolutionary movements?
Well, our idea was that we were going to, the primary thing that we were going to do is we were going to interview people along the way. We were going to record them, people who were involved in the various uprisings and revolutions that were going on, like politicians and priests and organizers. And what we did was we brought a bag full of our favorite music, rock tapes. You know, we were very into The Who and The Stones and Bob Dylan. And then we recorded over the music one by one with these interviews with these various priests and political people.
Now, I think there was a name for people like you in Central America, Internacionalistas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Internacionalistas.
Which meant what?
Well, we were internationalists. We were, well, you know, we consider ourselves to be part of the united world of socialists, I guess is what it would be. And so part of that was to go anywhere in the world and support socialism so that you were a citizen of socialism, not of a particular country.
So would you say there was a whole Internacionalista culture? I mean, were there chants and slogans and music you all had in common?
Oh, definitely. I mean, in every way, it was an interesting time in Nicaragua, and certainly not the least in terms of sound. All the Internacionalistas brought music from all their different countries, and this was, of course, before the internet, so none of us had really heard each other's music before, and we would all sit in these hostels and play all the different music, and just the sheer, even just listening to all the languages kind of going at once would be very exciting. There was a place that we all went to eat called Comedor Sara's, and we would all sit at these tables and sing songs and speak in all of our different languages. And, you know, it was a time of tremendous celebration and pride. I mean, not only for us, but also mostly for the Nicaraguan people. And the Nicaraguan people were celebrating as well. There was a lot of salsa dancing and marimba. There was a lot of chanting, a lot of singing.
Do you remember any of the songs you used to sing?
Well, you know, I tried to remember actual songs. I mean, I did remember some of the chants. The only song that I really remember singing was the Internacional, which was the socialist international anthem. I think it was originally written in French in something like 1871, and then it was translated into a lot of different languages, and it became the national anthem for the Soviet Union and also for the Chinese Soviet Republic.
I know I've heard it, but I can't remember the words at the moment. Do you remember how it goes, or do you remember any of the lyrics?
There were several versions in English. There was the British version, there was the American version, and then there were, in the late 80s, there were several versions that came out that were sort of like more like hippie versions, you know, that people would come up with. But the original American version went something like, 'Tis the final conflict, let each stand in his place. The international Soviet shall be the human race. That was the original the original American version.
So clearly there was a lot of solidarity among the Internacionalistas. On the other hand, you write that the Nicaraguan locals had a different name for you guys. They called you the Sandalistas.
They did. Well, I
referring to what? Your Birkenstock sandals?
The Birkenstock sandals, exactly.
There's a story you told, I think it was in Nicaragua, and you went to church and discovered that this local church actually had two different services, one for the locals and one for the Internacionalistas, and they sounded like they were pretty different types of services.
They were. Now, that was Uriel Molina, who was a very important priest, liberation theologian, who was a very big part of the revolution in the 70s. And then in the 80s, he had this beautiful popular church. And on Sunday nights or Sunday afternoons, really, he would have these, what he called La Misa Campesina, peasant mass, where he would preach about Vatican II and about liberation theology. And he would say things like, lucharemos o moriremos, we will fight or we will die. And the place was always full of internacionalistas. There were never any Nicaraguans in there except for the musicians. He always had musicians at the front playing marimba music. And so one day, George and I were there and we were wondering why there weren't any Nicaraguans. And someone said, oh, well, they come in the morning. So we said, oh, well, can you imagine how exciting it must be in the morning when the Nicaraguans are here, you know, if it's this fun now. So we went early in the morning one week and it was just like a regular Catholic mass. It was silent. There was just Molina saying the mass, and there was, you know, a lot of Nicaraguans in there, and they were very quiet, murmuring their prayers. And so we were sitting there just stunned. We'd been all ready for the party. And one guy said to us, you know, you should come in the afternoon. The Internacionalistas come in the afternoon. And we said, well, why do you come in the morning then? And he said, because the Internacionalistas are asleep. The church is not a place for dancing and making fun.
There was one story you told about an all-night prayer vigil at the orphanage. Can you describe that?
Yeah, when I first arrived at the orphanage, we had just gotten off this sort of harrowing bus ride, George and I, and they told us we were going to have an all-night prayer vigil, and which I thought was a horrible idea because I was really tired and wanted to go to sleep. But, you know, I went ahead and did it. And I couldn't understand why they would want to keep little kids up all night praying. So we all sat in this big room and we were all, you know, sitting on each other. You know, the little kids were sitting on our laps and things. And then suddenly I could hear outside shooting and explosions going on. And I realized that we were really right in the middle of the war. I mean, the fighting was going on all around us. And that's why we were having these vigils, because at night they were fighting, and it was really terrifying, the little kids who these little kids had been in these villages that had been destroyed by the fighting. And there were these, you know, children who hadn't been killed and were brought to this orphanage. So, yeah, it was a very intense experience.
So was there ever a point where you just said, I think I'd rather go home?
You know, it never really occurred to me to give up and go home. There was one point when I called my grandmother, Colette. It may have been her birthday or something. I love my grandmother. So I called her and she said, oh, you know, you should just come home. And I remember it so well because I remember being struck like, what? I could go home? Like, it hadn't even crossed my mind that I could do that. But no, I mean, there was no way I was going to leave George. I was totally in love with him. And as long as he was going to be there, I was going to be there with him. But we did, you know, finally we just were running out of money and we had to turn around and come home.
In the end, do you think that that revolution and all the Internacionalistas who flocked to those countries, do you think you guys did some good?
The only thing that I think that maybe we contributed to seriously in Nicaragua is that I think that we helped contribute to a sense of pride for them, that during that time we took them very seriously. And I think a lot of countries and a lot of small, poor countries in the world, you know, get ignored. And here were all of these people coming there and acting like they were really important, and they were. So I think that we really helped with that. And then it was very sad later when the revolution was over and everyone just left. I mean, of course, you know, there's a big tourist industry in Nicaragua now, but, you know, it's not the same. So I think that that's what we contributed. I think we contributed to a sense of pride for the Nicaraguan people.
Debbie Lynn Unferth is the author of Revolution. She spoke with Anne Strange Shams.